Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we consider it a privilege to be able to really air the subjects that we are airing. And today is one of those most important topics, our children and their future. And we have an amazing guest with us, Mr. Finn Larson. But before we start, we always like to ask you to invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come and join us so that they too can learn with us. A lot of these things are not being covered enough, unfortunately, in the mainstream media, and they are so important. But anyway, we're going to turn this over right now to Pastor Wayne Wood, Mr. Wayne Wood, former teacher, and it is a great privilege to have him with us as a co-host. And Mr. Wayne, if you don't mind, start us off on the right footing.
Sure thing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we come before you today, once more we just thank you for the the privilege of broadcasting this show, and we hope spreading your gospel in a small way to people who need to hear the truth, Lord. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you've shown us some of the fruits of the harvest that have been gathered in by this show. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are using us. And so, Father, we ask now today that, Lord, you will anoint us, that you will guide us, that you will fill us with the words that you would have us speak today that the people listening need to hear, Father. We pray for our country in this time of stress and trial and tribulation and ask Almighty God that your Spirit will flow through the high places of this land and convict the hearts of those who have been entrusted with leadership of our nation to, God, turn their face toward you and to seek your guidance and your wisdom and the truth of your Spirit, that they might do what is right and holy in your eyes and be righteous ministers of justice over your people. And Father, we pray, Lord, that the audience will be blessed by the broadcast today, that Father God, there will be words of truth, that there will be facts that they could take, knowledge they could take into the world and use, Lord, to spread your gospel, and that this would be a fruitful broadcast, and that Father God, that it will be anointed and blessed and everything done in your name and your will. In Jesus' name we pray and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Wood. We always like to start off the way the founders did, and really the way we always, we pretty much do. Most of us that knows the Lord, you know, praise Him at the start of our day. And Mr. Finn Larson serves as Executive Director of Christian Educators Association International. CEAI.org is their website. It's a professional association for Christian educators in both the public and the private schools. So thank you, Mr. Larson. We are so grateful, sir, for you taking time out of your busy schedule.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about an important topic.
Well,
and,
thank you, sir. Go ahead, Mr.
Larson,
Wayne.
If I may, I want to thank you for what you do with the Christian Educators Association. About my third or fourth year in the teaching, I attended Institute, you know, the opening day for those listeners who don't know. It's the opening day of school where they basically tell us how much the budget's been cut, but we're going to have a great year in spite of it, all the things we're going to have to do without to teach. But they also would give the floor to the, in Alabama, the AEA, Alabama Educational Association, speaker, and that year it was the president of the AEA, which is Alabama's version of the NEA, the National Education Association. And what we were forced to endure was a basic Democratic Party. It was 1996, presidential election. It was a Democratic advertising for Bill Clinton's reelection against Bob Dole. And it was just unabashed, you know, total support. And I've been in education for 4 years and had been paying AEA dues, NEA dues, because that's what you did as a teacher. And I said, I've had enough of this. Spending my money to support politicians I didn't agree with, to support programs and agendas that went totally, flew in the face of everything I held sacred, and even worse, in their magazine. Because I was a Bible-believing, conservative Christian, I was considered the enemy. And it was said that in editorials. And so that year I decided not to withdraw. I decided to withdraw my membership in the AEA-NEA. And I caught flack for that, but Alabama's a right-to-work state. It wasn't too long after that somebody put me on to the Christian Educators Association. And I was able to join and have some protection and have some support and realize that I wasn't alone in making my stand against the AEA-NEA and the stranglehold they have on education. I just wanted to thank you for what y'all have done for Christian educators in the classroom.
Well, I'm glad you were able to find us. I too, many years ago, was in your situation. I thought I didn't have an option, and ultimately myself found Christian Educators. We're having thousands of teachers in Alabama and other states, and now all of a sudden we're even being contacted from military bases across the nation of teachers saying, I can't give another dollar to an organization that supports anti-family agendas. And so we're getting thousands of teachers that are coming out. And you're right, many teachers are quite frankly intimidated by the unions and often sometimes even threatened, and they give in to what I consider one of the biggest bullies on our school campus today. And when they join us, we can provide them professional liability and legal services if they need it. But I think even more importantly, a view of education from a biblical worldview, and you won't find that there, I can guarantee you that.
Well, ultimately I realized my trust wasn't in the AEA or the NEA. It was in God himself to protect me because they always use the liability insurance. And so you take that stand on faith, and then God provides another, you know, another support. And that's how I saw it. And we worked to kind of get the word out. But, of course, we didn't have the official approval of the board and the structure that the AEA-NEA has.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully that's changing now. I'm retired now, but still praying for those teachers and still thanking you for what you've done.
Well, I appreciate that, and one of the best things that any of your listeners could even do is, if you know Christian educators, or we're even getting support staff now, secretaries, bus drivers, aides that are coming and joining us for the same kind of protection, the best thing you can do for us is let them know, because, quite frankly, many would take their money from these organizations and invest them here instead, and not be supporting agendas that, quite frankly, conflict with biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Because ultimately, we have to answer
you.
For that. Okay, I'm done, Diana.
Well, no, it's a great testimony, and that is why we need Mr. Larson on, really, because the fight that is before us is great, and we need many help, many corners, and he deals with aspect for the teacher, and not just teachers, those that works in other parts, as he was saying, you know, come to CEAI. But I would like to start off and say I was just asking God for a word, and I love to do that. And he led me to Jeremiah 51:17-19, and it's about it's foolish to trust in man-made images rather than God. Things rust, rot, and decay. God is eternal. Why put your trust in something that will disappear within a few years? So, oh, God is so good. Jeremiah 51:17-19 is long. I will not read it, but it is. It says, every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. And that is the thing that we are dealing. We are dealing with vain people that would seek to think they know better than parents in how to develop curriculums and what is to be taught to their children. And as we saw on Hannity the other night, it was just really shocking what the New York parents, New York City parents, are up at arms. I mean, this is what we've come to when they're going to teach bestiality, among other things, to 11-year-olds on up. And so we're saying, parents, wake up. Common Core standards, this national standardization that is coming, there's no telling what all is going to envelope in it. And for teachers, Mr. Larson, this is one reason I was so glad to have you on, because yesterday or the day before, we talked to Pastor Kerry Gordon from Iowa, and he is the pastor that helped oust those three Iowa Supreme Court justices. Last year we heard him in the news, and so he is one of our help. He is going to aid us in this endeavor, and he's given us an awesome idea that we're going to be following. But we need to know also, we need to know what the teachers are telling you, what is going to be the change in their teaching profession, that which most of them, you know, they love the children.
Exactly. I mean, I have yet, quite frankly, gotten positive input. It just doesn't seem to be out there. One of the major frustrations that I'm hearing from our teachers is that many were hoping maybe to get out from under the continual testing of the No Child Left Behind. And in No Child Left Behind, the tests and the curriculum was developed on the state level. Now, they were hoping to get out from under some of that so they could get back to the art of teaching, if you will. And now these Common Core standards, companies are out there right now developing humongous testing instruments. So now the decisions on what will be focused on in the classroom, they were uncomfortable enough it being from the states. Now it's going to be directly from the federal government, and those tests will be driving that. And we already know it doesn't work. We see test scores going down across the nation when we're into trying to what I have come to think of as race to the average. That there's this phenomenal need that everyone get to the average level, and we'll decide that by a national curriculum, and then that becomes the focus rather than get students to think and to process and to be able to think on higher levels and simple recall. It is frustrating, and we're seeing some fabulous fabulously gifted teachers wanting to leave the profession, and we're certainly encouraging them not to do that.
Well, we're being insulted as teachers, and I haven't been out of the classroom that long. When you're told you're not even trusted enough, you know, in Alabama they're adopting now end-of-course exams. They used to have a graduation exam you had to take to graduate. They're doing away with that, but now you've got, at the state, they're doing end-of-course exams. Teachers aren't even allowed or given the respect to be allowed to develop our own diagnostic and testing measures. In other words, we're not professional enough to make up our own tests. Now, my own opinion is this. If I'm not smart enough, if I'm not professional enough, if I'm not competent enough to make a decent, adequate test, then what am I doing in the classroom? Fire me, and so I get a job digging ditches. You know, and the problem is, you know, if a teacher's not doing the job, then you have to have the power and the ability to get them out of the classroom.
Well, Mr. Wayne, if I may say this, I'm sorry, Mr. Finn, it seems to me that teachers are by and by going to be like factory assembly line workers.
Exactly right.
I know Ms. Donna Garner has given us a chart. National standards leads to national assessments, mm-hmm. national curriculum,
yep.
teacher salaries tied to students' test scores, teachers teaching to the test each and every day,
mm-hmm.
national indoctrination of public school children, national database of students and teachers. And, I mean, I just think it's like making a widget. I mean, you're going to have this and that to do.
Well,
quite frankly, it doesn't work. I mean, we've already found that out, that taking some basic tests to drive what we do doesn't work. I talked to a teacher just the other day who under No Child Left Behind, students are also broken into racial groups. And he was told by his district, now sit down here, we've gotten rid of discrimination, right? He was told that we have one of our subgroups in their particular school, it was Hispanic. One of the Hispanic subgroup has fallen below average, so that this coming year they were to spend no extra time on Caucasians, Black, and Asians. They were to focus on getting Hispanics in their particular school up to again, average. Forget if there are other gifted and talented and if there's another Edison or Jobs or another creative individual who can impact our culture. Let's get everyone up to being average. It's a travesty, and going national like we are now, it's even worse. And in fact, my heart broke when I heard that President Obama is now offering districts or states that want to get out from under No Child Left Behind, he will take some of those mandates away from them if they're willing to abide by national core standards. So if you'll be willing to give up your state level testing, we'll provide you better testing. It's sad for America.
Well, it's the problem we have with No Child Left Behind. As I've said on the show before, we teachers call it No Kid Gets Ahead. When you're teaching to minimums, that's what you're going to get. And it's an indictment on the system. When I've seen many, and I'm not, when I say many, I'm not exact, I'm saying many. One is too many, but I've seen many students who we lost in the public schools because we weren't challenging. They're bright kids, but they became discipline problems because they were poor. Because they were intelligent. They were discipline problems because they weren't being challenged. And so they got bored, and so they end up dropping out of school. They go out, get their GED, and then they go on to college, and they're excelling, making A's and B's in college. They could have been making A's and B's in high school, but the problem was we're so busy trying to deliver a one-size-fits-all education, we're not meeting the needs of our high achievers. And so they're becoming discipline problems. They should be the leaders. They should be the movers and the shakers. They should be the top 10 of the senior class. And yet we lose them, and it's an indictment on the system. And what we're doing when we go on to common core standards, standardized testing, we're just multiplying the problem, because you're going to lose the best and brightest. But I can't help but wonder if that's not part of the goal, because when you dumb down the entire student body, you're dumbing down the population. And when you remove the ability to think critically, then they're going to buy any bill of goods any politician wants to sell them. And remember, John Adams said one of there are three foundations for a democracy or a democratic republic to succeed. First, you had to have a moral and religious people. Second, you had to have an educated and informed people. And third, you had to have a people experienced in self-rule. When you dumb down the education system, you're removing that second leg that supports our republic. And then, you know, you have an uninformed electorate who'll sit there and vote for a guy because he sounds good and his hairstyle's great, which is what we're having. Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
No, that is a great point, and we see that with the Occupy Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those kids doesn't even know what's going on, but, you know, I guess some of them, with their expensive shoes and whatever, can afford to not be searching for work, or they've got this great dream of a revolution, but it's almost anarchy. But it just really... I guess we can't blame this all on the NEA, but the Department of Ed being formed was a downhill slide, I think, from that point. But when you think about what the Founding Fathers did, Mr. Wayne and Mr. Finn, you know, they were able to teach with a lot less money, and look at what resulted. We had great minds back then. How did they teach compared to what we're teaching today? I've been wondering about that lately.
Well, one thing that was clearly different was the level of expectation. There was a high expectation for achievement. I mean, if you look at some of the curriculum back in the 1800s for the lower elementary schools, I mean, many of our college students would be shocked today. And as we continued to lower the standards, we would just get into more and more challenges. The concept. That just pouring more money at it, we know doesn't work. I mean, if you look at some of the inner city schools that are funded 3 to 4 times higher than some of the suburban schools, and are still a travesty. I mean, there are certainly issues of the breakdown of family and cultural values and the whole thing that fall into this, but part of it is also expectations. If you expect non-achievement, you'll receive it. I just the other day saw our math scores, United States math scores, compared to many of the compared globally, if you will. We were way down at the bottom, and you know, we used to be first in math and science. We were way at the bottom, but the one thing we were near the top was how our kids felt about their math skills. So apparently we're putting too much emphasis on feel good about your non-achievement, rather than expecting high skill achievement. I mean, you mentioned the protesters. I mean, they're protesting, at least those that know what they're protesting, about people who have achieved. You know, we don't want – you shouldn't be successful. You should give what you have earned to us. And once you get that mentality, why – why achieve in the classroom? Just sit and receive what's given to you, and expect the government to give you jobs and money. I mean, we need to get back to the concept of individual achievement, and that's what we should be celebrating. We should be celebrating achievement.
I think, too, the media, I mean, with television, movies, and all that, we have let that really train up our children, a lot of times babysit them even. But if you don't mind, shock us and tell us what were the expectations even of the elementary school kids. Can you share with us some of that?
I don't have that with me, but what I would suggest, if you have not seen it, if you've seen the David Barton series, American Heritage series, that they actually have some of the paperwork and some of the curriculum that was there. But I mean, there were story problems, and that I sat there with a pencil and paper, and had to really work at to figure out the math. This was a fifth grade math lesson of story problems, and the kids were not allowed to use pencil and paper. They had to figure it out in their head. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, what has happened to our nation? You used the word before, dumbing down. It's if you have low expectations, then you will get low results.
Well, I know from my own experience in the classroom, my kids would always try to play dumb, and I'd look at them. I said, "Oh, don't give me that. You can do this. I have more faith in you than you do." You know, and they, once they realized they couldn't get over and they had to do it, they'd do it. But if you'd let them, slide, they'll slide. They're kids. But you know, you talk about expectations in the old classroom. There are a lot of things that were taught. I mean, we used to teach Latin. You weren't considered an educated person unless you spoke Latin. Now folks will say, well, what's the point of learning to speak a dead language such, you know, like Latin? Well, it's the skills and the thinking process, the critical thinking skills, the cognitive development in learning another language that we've lost. We don't require, we used to require a major in a language, or, you know, to take a second language, be it Spanish, French, German. Used to be required to graduate from high school to get into a college. Well, it's not required anymore to take a second language. That's a type of higher order thinking to learn another language we don't require of our students. Many schools don't require our kids to memorize the multiplication tables. I heard some big guru, we went to a professional development conference where some big education guru talked about wasting time on teaching multiplication skills, and we should be teaching them algebra. They've got a calculator that can do their multiplication tables. And somebody, and then they said, well, somebody says, well, what happens if you don't have batteries for your calculator? Well, I tell them, if we come to the day we don't have batteries for our calculators, memorizing multiplication tables, the last thing we need to worry about. And everybody laughed. But what he missed here, and it was shocking that this guy was an expert, what he was missing was the thinking skills and discipline required to memorize your multiplication tables. You're robbing that child of the development. It's why we teach algebra. There's certain problem-solving skills you get in learning algebra that help you in other areas of life. And when we take these out, because we got to learn other stuff, when we're taking away the basic, we're taking away the building blocks for critical thinking from our kids. And then we wonder why, when we watch a movie with them, we got to tell the kids every 30 seconds what's going on. Why is he doing that? Why is he saying that? What's that? What are they doing? What are they doing? Well, watch it and find out. Figure it out. Well, that's hard. If you try to show a movie to a class and they're constantly asking you what's going on, because they're not being, it's an intellectual laziness because they're not used to being forced to think.
Well, I think, Mr. Wayne, you said it's a dumbing down, but mm-hmm. I think, too, Mr. Finn, that, you know, teachers had a way, really good teachers like Mr. Wayne had a way of being able to teach rightly, but now even that's going to be taken away from them, right?
Right. What they're going to be doing, quite frankly, is focusing on being sure that kids can score well on the national test based on the Common Core, and that's what it will be melting down to, and that isn't really learning. One of the things that I'm totally convinced of is that if we could get back to having teachers teach computation skills, communication skills, problem solving skills, they would do well on the test ultimately. But we've gotten away from that instead, and I know exactly what will happen. We saw this with the state test. Districts were totally focused on, you just concentrate on what's on the test, and you put those kids in alphabetical order, and you just sit there and you make sure that they put the right mark down on the test. And it, it it's raping the educational system, and quite frankly, it's taking our teachers the art of teaching away from them, and we're just going to keep on this downward slope if we don't wake up and say we're not going to do that. We need to get back to local control, and we top down doesn't work. One of the powers I believe that I saw in education is when teachers got together and they developed what worked and they developed the curriculum for their classroom. They not only presented it in the classroom, but they were part of developing it, not coming from central office or state office or now from Washington D.C. Let's let our teachers be the professionals that they are. I mean, there are so many fabulous teachers out there that could turn this around if we could just turn them loose.
Well, a lot of the teachers went in there because they have a love for children, and they have a love to teach the children well. So it's not just like learning a lot of other skills. I think there's a great emotional investment. It's a very hard, demanding job, as well as intellectual investment with schooling and everything. And you said the word raping. I think this is a rape of the minds of our children because of what New York City is now, they put it in the news. This is really the plans of the left, is to sexualize to the point of perversion the minds of the little children, 11 years old on up. And I'm thinking it's really time for the Christian church to wake up, and we're hoping that's going to happen. But I just saw this Rick McClain, this friend of ours, Rick, that sent me an email. And what he's saying here is private and homeschool students may not get accepted into college or be allowed to take the classes in college that they choose because of the Common Core. According to the discussion draft Common Core standards and teacher preparation, the role of higher education, it says here by the science and math teachers imperative, higher education will need to consider how to use assessments developed to measure high school students' master of those content domains in college admission and placement. Universities in the state that have committed to one of the two consortia developing assessments have made a commitment to include assessment results in making placement decisions. Sounds pretty bad.
Well, we spoke of that. We spoke of that several weeks ago.
You did. You're right. You sure did.
They weren't going to leave homeschoolers alone because they're not going to let anybody. Remember, no child left behind. They're going to get every kid. If you think you can escape it, they won't let you. It's not live and not live with them.
And it is amazing if you look at what has happened in the homeschooling movement, in the Christian school movement, the private school movement, investing a lot less money. Many of those students are far exceeding what's happening in our public schools, and it's certainly good for those children, but we should be able to expose all our children to higher levels of learning and higher levels of thinking.
Indeed, Mr. Finn. And I just think, I studied the Korean culture, and it's like you said. I mean, there's, I guess, it's a mindset of the ways of old, when the majority of really schooling were developed in school, in the home, with the mother reading to the children the Bible. But we've gotten so away from really the parental input. Because nowadays, the parents don't even get to see a lot of these textbooks. They just see little bits of paperwork, and they're trying to make heads or tails, and most of them are single parents. So right there, the family is already in the negative as far as being able to help the child. But even if they wanted to help the child, they couldn't understand what's being taught to even help.
Well, sometimes even the teachers input into textbooks gets ignored. The last time I served on a textbook committee, they had several. They have several different versions of textbooks, and one particularly economics textbook we were looking at a series of economics textbooks to adopt, and there was one that we generally, they were all pretty bad, but we considered one being the best of the bad lot. We decided this was the one we were going to recommend. There was another one which was really, really pretty bad, and but we recommended this other one. And well, I ended up the school board adopted one that we recommended that we didn't recommend, and couldn't understand why the superintendent overrode the recommendations of the textbook committee. I mean, why have a textbook committee if you're not going to listen to them? And then we found out that the reason, or I still believe to this day, the reason why the superintendent overrode the textbook committee's suggestion was that for every set of classroom books we bought from this company, the system got free computers. And so we got saddled with the textbook we didn't like, and I didn't use it, as a matter of fact. I issued it to the kids and then basically taught off my notes and handouts. For the next 5 years, we were forced to use that book. But, I mean, it was just a total, it was, there was just so much wrong in that book. And the kids would tell me, so, Mr. Wood, well, the book says this. Well, the book's wrong. Go with what I say because I'm the one who grades your tests. Yeah.
Well, you know, the sad thing that we're going to find with textbooks now, they're going to line up with these core standards.
Yes, exactly right.
I mean, that's really what's going to happen. I watched what happened in Texas. When they decided they were going to teach in history class some of the Christian foundations in their history class, and in their science textbooks they were going to cover other theories of origin other than evolution. I mean, the textbook companies right away geared up to create textbooks that was going to fit the curriculum that Texas wanted to teach. Of course, the National Education Association passed a resolution that no textbooks published in Texas should be used in other states, but that's a whole different story. But I mean, textbooks will follow the curriculum because, I mean, that's how they make money. A district is going to buy the textbook that lines up with the core curriculums if they've sold out to that.
Yeah, and you know, for years, California and Texas has dominated textbook adoption because they're the two largest markets. And textbook companies, they write to match the California and Texas curriculum because those are the two largest markets. And then, you know, for a state like Alabama, they may have an additional little booklet for Alabama, you know, like for Alabama history or something like that, but those are the two big tails that wag the dog, Texas and California. Well, now that's going to be irrelevant. It's going to be Common Core.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you're going to get distortions, and I'm speaking from a history teacher's point of view, you're going to get distortions of historical facts. I mean, let's face it, California now has the gay history requirement that's going to seep in. When you talk about science, you know, forget any alternative to evolution. Economics, you know, forget any rational discussion of supply-side economics. You know, John Maynard Keynes and Karl Marx is going to be the king. You know, Adam Smith, forget about it, you know. And this is the kind of things we're going to see, and this is what's polluting the mind of our kids. And as you said, that's what we're seeing out there in the Occupy Wall Street. I mean, whatever you're thinking, they're against it. They don't know what it is, but they're against it.
Well, Mr. Larson, what about this? You know, there's more and more teachers getting in trouble for their own private thoughts, like when they post things on the Internet, like Facebook. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are I hope conservatives and Christians will come forward and defend some of these teachers. I mean, the only thoughts that they're really getting in trouble for are conservative Christian thoughts.
Yeah.
If they have a liberal idea or a liberal lifestyle, they're protected. And I just hope that we're there for them. I mean, we have at Christian Educators Association, we have worked with legal teams around the country when teachers are attacked like this, to get in there and defend them, because I mean, the Constitution as it was written is still in effect, and the courts have said that teachers don't lose their freedom of speech just because they're teachers. But one of the things that happens is a local community will just freak out if a teacher expresses something that might not be politically correct, and ultimately it'll get straightened out if we're willing to fight for it, and we need to fight for it, or we'll lose the freedom of speech that we have. And see, those are some of the things we need to be teaching our children, because otherwise, as they become the political leaders and the voting citizens, they won't even know about some of these freedoms, and they will disappear quite quickly. And if anarchy, if you will, is the word, and we strengthen government control to keep peace in its citizens, one of the things you see in other countries that have lost the freedoms long ago that we have, those freedoms are given up, and more power is given to the government, and then pretty soon those kind of freedoms are surrendered. And we need an educational system that will show the entire truth, and what would have a good foundation of the history of the freedoms we have in this nation, or we will lose them.
Well, as Franklin said, people who will sacrifice liberty for safety will not have one nor deserve the other. These organizations like the ACLU, and now there's a Freedom From Religion Foundation out of Wisconsin. They're sending letters all across, and these people are in Wisconsin. They just sent a letter to a school district in the panhandle of Florida objecting to the fact there was student-led prayer at the football game. And one of the things that terrorizes the school board is the threat of a lawsuit because of the expense and of defending it. And so they'll send these letters. They're like bullies, and they'll send a letter threatening a school board with a lawsuit if you don't stop doing something we don't like. And even though the courts have ruled that this activity is okay and that teachers have freedom of speech and that it's okay for student-led prayer, it's okay for this, the school board will buckle rather than to pay the expense of defending against a frivolous lawsuit like that. And that's how they get away with carving away at our freedoms.
Exactly. The districts will say, we can't afford to fight them.
Right.
And so they'll give in. And I would say to any of your listeners, if they see anything like that happening in their school district and they want to give us a call, we will help link them up with absolutely free legal defense for the district or for the individual. Because if we don't fight it in the courts, and individuals can't afford to do that, and certainly some school districts can't afford to do that, but there are legal firms and organizations like ourselves that will engage in those battles on their behalf. Because if we don't, within a generation, it'll be gone.
Yeah. Some of these things are going to have to be taken all the way up to the Supreme Court. And even then, if you get a court decision that says it's okay to pray on Main Street, they'll say, well, it didn't say anything about First and Main, or it didn't say anything about State Street. And they'll sue. These people are relentless, but we've got to fight at every one, because if you let them in one place, they're going to expand their bridgehead, so to speak, in a military term. And this is a constant fight. We as teachers, when I taught, I knew my constitutional rights as a teacher and as a Christian, and there were things I knew we could do, and there were things that we could discuss. And it was one of the joys of teaching in social studies and history, because I could go into certain areas because it was relevant to the course material. But I knew all it took was one kid to go home and get one atheist or agnostic parent to try and cause me trouble, and I'd have a fight on my hands. And I didn't know that all the time that I would have my board and my superintendent behind me. But it's something. It's a fight you got to fight, because if you don't, then they win.
Well, it's so important to be part of a Christian educator.
Yes,
I think just to have that support, because I wonder, are more teachers pretty much more inclined to be in conformity and just be quiet? Or
oh, yeah.
Do you think that there's many more fed up that they will be more bold after these incidents with these teachers' postings on Facebook?
Well, I'm hoping they're going to be more bold. The reality of it is I think the nature of the majority of teachers is to submit, you know, they just want to do their job and not lose their job.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to, as a country, as believers, we're going to have to become a little bit more aggressive because otherwise our children and grandchildren will not even know of the history of the freedoms that we've had, because even history gets rewritten. So I mean, we just need to be bold. And I would say it's happening to some. You alluded earlier to California. They have passed Senate Bill 48, where teachers are going to be required in the public schools to teach the positive contributions of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender citizens of the United States. And in the law itself, which has not been repealed, there was a repeals try, but it didn't work, it actually says that the teacher cannot teach any negative aspect of that lifestyle. And we've had several of our members call us and say, I can't do that. I either have to quit or will you help me? And so we're working with attorneys that we may have some teachers who are going to say, you're forcing me to violate a religious conviction. And so we may be able to make headway there. But so I would say the many teachers aren't willing to fight, unfortunately, but there are some who are saying, I can't do it anymore, and I believe that's pleasing to the Lord.
And they need prayer.
Oh, yes. Mr. Finn, I'm sorry, Ms. Ryan, go ahead.
Well, I having been in a position where I've had to stand alone, it's been my discovery that most of my peer group, you know, the good thing and the bad thing about being in a situation where you have to make a stand is you find out who your real friends are. That's the good thing. The bad thing is you find out you don't have as many as you thought. But there have been times when I've had to make a stand, and I've had people come up, boy, I really support you. I believe in what you're doing, but I can't do anything. And, you know, for all the talk of teacher tenure and how secure teachers are in their jobs, you've never met a people that are more job scared than teachers. Because most of us know we're only one complaint from a kid who doesn't get a good grade away, one accusation away from having our whole lives destroyed. All it takes is one kid who doesn't like the report card to tell you to accuse you of doing something out of the way with them. And even if you get cleared, your reputation's destroyed, your career's gone. And even though the superintendent may not be able to fire you because you're tenured, they can make your life miserable. And so most teachers say, yes, sir, three bags full and go on, because they want to keep their job, they want to do their job, and they don't want to make waves. But for those
I'm sorry, Ms. Ryan. New York City, there may be more people from New York City, more teachers, hopefully, Mr. Finn, that we'll be calling on Christian Educators Association. I mean, it's not really funny. I mean, when I heard that, Hannity, and I've gotten a link to it and I'm trying to send it out, I was so sick, because to know that these poor children are going to be taught about bestiality, how much lower can we go? And for that poor teacher that may be a Christian, that is going to have to be forced to teach the horrendous things. But I'm thinking, too, I have heard, you know, that is one of those things that is very hard to really change, is when it comes to health education, Mr. Wayne, you know, they can incorporate a lot of these things in it.
And they've been doing it for years. It's just some of it's just now come to the surface.
We're hearing more about it. It's all the way from elementary up through college. I just learned the other day that the NCAA college athletics, they've now passed a policy because they want to be sure they treat transgender students fairly, that if you happen to be a woman that feels like a man you can take you now is once you start taking steroids, you can then play on the men's team. And a woman, if you feel like a man and you start taking hormone drugs, you can then play on the men's team. I mean, just a generation ago, that'd be unheard of. Men play on men's team, women's play on women's team. But because we want to be politically correct, we're going to let them play on whatever team they feel like. I mean,
well, I think maybe we need a third team for it.
That's right.
Yeah, a third restroom, his, her, shim. I don't know.
Well, a lot of colleges actually have gone to unisex restrooms just for that issue. They don't want to make somebody feel like a woman, apparently.
And for somebody who doesn't want to be ogled while they're going to the bathroom, I guess they're out. I mean, it's Sodom. And we need to be careful we don't become like Lot and forget what right and wrong is because we're so busy compromising to get along.
Yeah, and see, I think this is one of the reasons I'm really opposed to the whole national curriculum core common standards issue is because we still have some great teachers in communities across the nation that are doing a good job and that haven't been sucked into many of the compromises that other districts have, and this will just help envelop them into that line of thinking. And instead, we need to let communities hire the kind of teachers that they want influencing their children and let them decide how and what to teach them, and we'd be much farther ahead.
I know.
And Mr. Lawson, go ahead, Mr. Troy.
I know I felt blessed that for most of my career I taught in a district that I felt I had total support. For most of my career, and I talked about a few bad things, but those were just bumps in the road. But for the most part, I taught in a conservative district where there were Christian values upheld and there was a great deal of respect for the things of God. I remember one day we had a National Day of Prayer and the president of the Student Christian Club wanted to have a moment of silence during the National Day of Prayer, because he was trying to be respectful of the Constitution. And I'll never forget my principal. I was so proud of him. He says, "No, you can't have a moment of silence." And the kid just looked at him for a minute. He says, "We're either going to pray or we're not. I'll give you the mic. You're a student. Lead it." And so he got on there. He'd asked for permission. It was student-led, student-initiated. He led the school in a prayer. Not a single complaint. But under a Common Core curriculum with national, things like that are going to be unheard of.
You're right, Mr. Wayne. And, I think I remember you saying, Mr. Larson, before another interview, where, a lot of the problems with the bad teachers could be taken care of by the principals and superintendents.
Yes.
They can get rid of them. There is a way. It may not be easy, but, there is a way to do it. Instead of really revamping the whole system, because that's what I hear some of the call is, we need national standards because the teachers can't teach. And our children are being dumbed down. Well, somebody's not doing their job. But this, do you hear some of the states and what they're attempting as far as getting out of Common Core standards? Do you hear? I know Alabama is trying to really force this issue before their state board. We don't have enough state board members, unfortunately. But do you hear some other states?
I'm not hearing it, to be honest with you. In fact, I'm hearing more talk that because there was frustration with the No Child Left Behind, that to get out of some of those standards, more states are considering signing up with President Obama's new plan of getting out under the No Child Left Behind and instead signing up for national standards. So some of the districts states have been holding back, I'm afraid, are going to give in to this new bribe.
Well, we're excited about the interview that we had the other day with Pastor Kerry Gordon because what they did in Iowa was unheard of, to get rid of three of their Supreme Court justices. But it took some very bold Christian people to step up to the plate, and it's like there were a lot that followed, and it made a huge difference. I think 12%. The vote, it was unheard of. So I still believe this can be done, but part of the problem is, of course, mainstream media is not covering this. fully, hardly a whisper. When they do cover it, they refer people to the Common Core website. So, you know, people don't even get the other website. We've got truthinamericaneducation.org that is a very good website that's got all sorts of information that really each state can use to present and make a difference for their own standards, the Common Core standards in the fight against Common Core. But I think we're just going to have to get the word out. There are some people that is starting to really speak up, and I know Miss Betty Peters, she comes on all the time, and thank God she's being asked to speak, not just in Alabama, but in other parts of the country where they're taking stock in the New York City News the other night. If that doesn't wake up a parent and a teacher, I don't know. Their head must be in the sand if they do not realize the implication of that for their own in whatever state they're in. And as we've talked about, even homeschoolers and even private schools are going to be affected. So I think there's got to be a more broad support that needs to come, but it can come. And we're asking, Mr. Finn, that everyone call Congress, and the call is to defund Common Core. Ms. Donna Garner, who's been on the show a lot, she said, you know, we need to make this a national issue. And a lot of people are against it now once they know what it's about. We believe that it can pass the House, and never mind if it doesn't pass the Senate. It might pass the Senate. After all, there's an election coming up. And the more parents find out about it, the more they will be pressing Washington. So defund Common Core is the rally cry. Call your congressman. And let's see it, you know, become a national debate.
That's fabulous. You're right. It hasn't been out there a lot, and we certainly will do what we can to start our teachers talking, and hopefully you will continue the kind of positive-based broadcast you're doing here. Because we have to remember, we talk about the government, if you will, like it's somebody else. Hey, it's the public. It's us. it was believers like ourselves who formed this nation and set up this government. And I know I had an opportunity to serve in the public schools as a superintendent of schools for many years. And once churches saw some of the impact of what was going on in the school district, they ran for school boards. And I've got to tell you, when I had the majority of Christians on the school board to work with, it majorly increased my power and authority as an educational leader, and I would hope Christians would run for public office, school boards, councils, be our representatives in Washington, for instance. If we could turn this nation around from within, and we just need to do that.
Mr. Wayne, your thoughts? Oh, Mr. Wayne, did I lose you? I think I lost him, Mr. Finn. But we also encourage the word from Pastor Kerry Gordon. We will let you know what comes of that. We are waiting on something, and we will share it with you because, you know, he really started off with a big God. It was a small group, I think just his church to start off. But then, you know, they sent out a call. They sent out a call, and the people heard. And what a great impact. And I'm believing just, I think, as he is believing, too, that, you know, this is a topic that's going to move the pastors. Because, unfortunately, this over-sexualization of our children, it is a raping of their mind, of their innocence.
Not a doubt.
Yes, sir. And so I just pray that the Lord will have mercy on us. We don't deserve it. We've done a lot of things wrong, but there is still a remnant. So
that's right.
I'm believing he is hearing our prayers. So I'm going to go ahead and close this show. I hate that Mr. Wayne's not on. We'd love for him to close it. But Mr. Finn Lawson, would you mind, sir, and let's give this to our Almighty God.
Absolutely. Father, in Jesus' name, we just give you thanks for who you are and know that you can change the course of mighty rivers, Father. We know that you are all-powerful and almighty, and, Lord, we would ask that we in the body of Christ would just rise up and take our country back, Father, and protect our children from exposure to things that are just an abomination, Father. And Lord, we would ask that you would give us the will to bring change to this nation, Father. And we just look to you for guidance. We look to your word as the focus of what is right and what is wrong, Father, and that we might change in this nation the things that violate your word, Father, and that would impact and draw little children in directions that you would not have them go, Father. Father, we ask for the courage, the wisdom, and the insight to bring change to this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And, Mr. Finn, one of the things I did not cover, I had meant to ask you, from what I'm hearing, there is going to be data mining of information from the students and also the teachers.
Yes. Yes, because whenever you gather data, there's obviously, you may start out with good reasons for having all this data, but data is now being talked about, being used to the point that you can take and again it goes down to teacher data, student data, building data, district data, and the concern by many is who will have access to all this personal data, but again it was challenging enough to maintain all this data on the state level and the local level, and now we're looking at moving it on to nationally, and hopefully it can stop.
Well, I saw a video where it had, there was a company before Congress, and of course it sounds real good. This is going to let the parents know what the child's homework is and what their grades are immediately. But this was before a national committee in Congress. And I wonder, do we not realize what is going to happen with that, the implications of that becoming a national thing? So data mining, yeah, that should be a concern for all. But we have a big God, and what I'm going to do with this interview, Mr. Finn, is put it in a little article, a little blog, along with Pastor Kerry Gordon. I think you would just be so encouraged. And I will send you a link to that article. We will also put in there a link to the Hannity, show where he really was very specific about this New York City. So that hopefully, I think when teachers and parents see that, I think they're going to say, you know, enough is enough. We must take a stand for that mind of the child. So thank you, sir, for being on. I'm so grateful. We know you're very busy, and we hope to have you back on, sir, if you don't mind.
I would love that opportunity, and just keep getting the truth out.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. And listeners, please share this, www.cityonahill.tv, and go to Mr. Finn Larson's website. If you don't mind, share that website again, Mr. Larson.
Certainly. It's www.ceai.org. And we also have a toll-free number that you can contact our office at. It's 888-798-1124.
And we pray many teachers will call you and get the support they need. These are trying times, and we need those teachers who love to teach to have the support they need. God bless you, sir. Thank you. And goodbye, listeners. May God shine his face upon you. See you tomorrow on City on a Hill Radio Show.